your church in earth and heaven.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well, there you have it. John's rotting in prison, and so what does Jesus do? Good grief, he moves. He changes his address. He packs up and he moves way, way up north. If you want to look up Messiah Jesus, well, you've got to look in the city of Capernaum, and that's in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, what was left of the northern kingdom of Israel. What's up with this new crib or this fresh location? What's the draw? Is it lower property taxes? Are they fracking for oil like in North Dakota? Is Jesus, perhaps maybe he's interested in lake property on the Sea of Galilee? That's pretty pricey. You know, if he did buy lakefront property, he could host some great parties there, couldn't he? Or perhaps he's moving so that he can open up his own carpentry shop and specialize in his own brand of woodworking and cabinetry and name it Preacher Jesus Woods, Inc. Is that the draw? I mean, what's the attraction to move way up north? What is it that lures Jesus to this godforsaken land of Zebulun, Naphtali? Nothing really, unless of course you're into hardcore, false worship. I mean, you'd love to move there if mixing together of the various world religions floats your boat. But, you know, I don't think Jesus is into that. Do you? This part of Israel was notorious for her institutional idolatry. Idolatry was the norm in this part of Israel. In fact, idolatry was required if you lived there. Can you imagine that? Required! A modern parallel would be this. You'd go to church in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, not just to worship the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt under Moses, but rather you would also worship Allah, or Baal, or Isis, Vishnu, or other supposed deities, and you'd worship them all together. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods, was completely and on purposely violated in the name of a utopian culture of diversity and mutual tolerance. Sound familiar? The Lord sent prophet after prophet to repent these people, to turn them from their deep, dark, deadly idolatry to the light and to the life named himself. But Naphtali and Zebulun would not listen. They put their fingers in their ears and they said, la, 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 can't hear you, prophet, won't hear you, prophet. We will keep our false gods, prophet. Don't you dare take them away from us. And then the Lord sent the ruthless and brutal Assyrians as his instruments. They talked with their weapons and their military muscle. And so in 734 and 732 BC, the Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser, treated Zebulun and Naphtali with contempt. He conquered this part of Israel, and he forced many of her people to go into exile. Zebulun and Naphtali were as good as dead. And now this land is contemptuously and scornly given the name, and you heard it twice in the readings, Galilee, not of Israel, but Galilee of the Gentiles. And so again I ask, why in the world would Jesus move up there? I mean, he's absolutely out of place by moving up there. That's not his kind, it's not his type, it's not his style. And the Governor Cuomo types who control Galilee of the Gentiles certainly wouldn't want Jesus there. Well, I'll tell you why he's made the move. Listen to what the text says. He is fulfilling Bible prophecy. What Isaiah the prophet preached many years before. The extensive, deep, icy darkness of winter's sin and death's black shadow is now over for this land. The spring thaw in Israel has now begun. Salvation for Israel and for the world is now dawning. The bright beams of the sun, capital S, sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, shine in the world. For Jesus, Son of Mary, yet God of God and light of light, has moved to Capernaum in the region of Naphtali and Zebulun. God of God and light of light, Jesus, is the light. Salvation's new creation, light. And he dispels the long winter night of sin and death. He scatters the darkness and he warms the world with his compassion and mercy for sinners, as you heard in the Holy Gospel reading today. With his change of address, Jesus cranks up his salvation of the world work. He rolls up his sleeves to do a divine service on the earth. Listen again. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And to those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, unto them a light has dawned. Christmas light, Jesus, has come. Salvation's first light has dawned. But where? Take a good look. In Capernaum, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, Galilee of the Gentiles. And notice how the light of salvation comes. It comes by preaching through a preacher's mouth of all things. Jesus unloads a sermon. It's a short one. Gets right to the point, though. Right to the heart of what preaching is all about. Preacher like Jesus dares to utter the nastiest, the most repugnant word that a sinner in this world can ever hear. It's the dreaded R word. What the Governor Cuomos of the world call extremist, dangerous, criminal, and therefore not welcome in Zebulun and Naphtali or in the state of New York or whatever state for that matter. What is this naughty R word that the powers of the Cuomonian world would outlaw at the drop of a hat? What is it? Repent. Yeah, that's right. Jesus dared to preach that. Man, how dare you, Jesus? You bloody extremist. You are not welcome. Well, he dared, not just then, but today as well. Not to the folks at Capernaum, but to you and me at Trinity Murdoch. It's time for us all to get over our outrage at that R word. Seriously, it's time for us to get over it. Instead, it's high time for us to listen, because Jesus is right. It's time to repent, to confess the truth that we're sinners and that we are darn good at it. I'd like to use another word, but I don't dare. We're darn good at it. We've got it perfected. Sinning 24/7, 365 in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We are rotten to the core. Let's get to first base today, shall we? Can I use that language? Let's get to first base today and let's admit that. We're sinners who need to be what? Repented. Turned from our sin. Namely, we are to fight against our sin and we are to die to it. And then let's hit the home run. And be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. To come to the most important part of repentance, which is spelled F-A-I-T-H. Or trust. Trust in Jesus. Yeah, you're the sinner, I'm the sinner, and Jesus is the what? He's the Savior. And his reign is one of forgiveness for 24/7, 365 sinners. And so, repent, Jesus dares to preach. Why? Because he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes, indeed, the reign of God on the earth has arrived in Jesus Christ. Light Jesus has moved to Capernaum in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, God of God and light of light. Ah, Jesus reigns on the earth. And when he reigns, sins are forgiven and death is destroyed and God is merciful. Jesus preaches that message where he locates himself. As we heard in the text, the light has dawned and spring, salvation's spring, has begun. On the earth. And so first there's a sermon for those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Holy Spirit-filled preaching bears fruit. Jesus gathers around himself a church through the preaching of his word. Did you notice how it works? Boom! After he preaches the sermon, then he goes and finds people to hear his word. Simon, Andrew, James, John, and from his church he sends preachers, fishers of men. Huh, that's who these men will be. And he'll use them to be his instruments in the church to net in more and more people around himself who is God of God and light of light. Preaching, and then as the text reveals, healing. Healing of every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people, the text said. And news spread about this Jesus like wildfire all across the region of Syria, the text says. Good grief. And so great masses of people from everywhere came looking and hunting this Jesus down. They brought to him all who were ill, the text says, taken with various diseases, pains, the demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. The great multitudes from Galilee and the Decapolis, Jerusalem and Judea and beyond the Jordan River are all flowing to this light of light, the Savior Jesus, for now. For now. Because the crowds will dwindle when the light's preaching turns to his suffering and death and resurrection. You know, when he kind of tails off the healing and stuff and starts emphasizing his suffering and death and resurrection, then what happens? Then the crowds dwindle. And they don't want to follow him anymore. And when the suffering begins in earnest on Maundy Thursday with Iscariot's treachery, Peter's denial, the disciples run. Oh, there's a crowd that gathers around the cross, but only to do what? To mock. Oh, the Marys weep. And John stands with them, but generally speaking, they're all there to mock. But there on the cross in the 3 hours thick darkness over the whole land, the light of salvation shines the brightest. For there Jesus bears the sin of the world to take it away from you and answering for it himself. Yes, in his body's bitter suffering and dying, salvation's spring becomes salvation's summer. For Zebulun and Naphtali, for the world, and yes, even for you. The bright beams of salvation's light have come to you. Jesus has preached his word into your ears. He's baptized you into his death, and he gives you his body and blood in the sacrament. His address now is not Capernaum. He's done an ascension. And now his address is even here at this place where we are gathered to hear his word and to eat and drink his body and blood. Where again, it is salvation's summer. You who were sitting in darkness have seen a great light. You were sitting in the land of the shadow of death. Oh, I tell you, the light, Jesus, has dawned. Oh, there's great joy in that, because what a Savior he is. In the name of Jesus, amen.